The following is offered by Discerning Hearts, a 501c3 nonprofit Catholic apostolate dedicated to spiritual formation through the use of new media. To download this selection, or to browse hundreds of other programs, or to contribute to our mission with a charitable donation which is fully tax deductible, visit our website at discerninghearts.com.
Welcome to Among Women. I'm your host, Pat Gohn. Among Women celebrates the beauty and grace that women experience in their Catholic faith and life. Together, we reflect on the wisdom of Catholic women as we dare to respond to Christ and the call to holiness. These are the stories of women by women. It's faith sharing, teaching, and conversation that delights in our feminine genius and the sisterhood we have in Christ in a special way when we gather among women. Coming to you from our humble studio, located down a country lane in New England.
It's always a pleasure to welcome back an author to the studio. Former visitor to Among Women is back with us again today. Susan Bailey, in the last year, has penned a new book called River of Grace. The subtitle is Creative Passages Through Difficult Times. And I want to tell you that what struck me about this book when I first read it was it was a book that really allowed you to maybe work through grief or work through loss, whether it's a loss of loved one or maybe it's a loss of a job or some other type of loss in your life. It's a difficult and a delicate topic, but you know what? It's a topic that affects all of us. Nobody gets through life without loss and death and sadness. This isn't going to be a sad show, but we're going to talk about how we deal with that in a positive way in light of our faith. Susan Bailey, welcome back to Among Women. Glad to have you.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
The book, River of Grace. Three words right there. River and grace especially, I think, have real meaning and really characterize what this book is about. Why don't you share a little bit about that?
Okay. The title came from it's a metaphor that came from my experience as a kayaker. My husband and I took it up several years ago. We moved to a town that has access to several rivers and streams in central Massachusetts, and there are many different important rivers that run through this area. So there's many, many opportunities to go out in the boat, and we both tried kayaking and really loved it, and started doing it. And I was going through a period when we started kayaking of a lot of anxiety and stress because we were having financial difficulties. And it was the kind of thing where it was the monster in the closet in the middle of the night, where you'd wake up at 4 a.m. and just, you know, your stomach would be in knots and you couldn't wait to get out of bed so that it would dissipate. Mm-hmm. And in kayaking, I loved it so much that I used to think about it when we weren't doing it. And in thinking about it and meditating upon the water and the river and thinking about the current and how it will lead the boat, even if you're not paddling, or if you're swimming and you're just lying on your back or you're floating in an inner tube, it'll just carry you downstream. And sometimes the journey is very peaceful and lovely and it will calm you. And other times you can run into, you know, kind of whitewater rafting situations where you're going over rocks and, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I thought about that, and I equated that with grace, because grace leads you, if you allow it. The whole point is you have to give God permission, which is what he asked for. That's what free will is all about. And once you say, yes, go ahead, lead me, be the current in my life, then that river of grace will carry you places where you could never imagine. Our imaginations can be very limited, and if we just plug into that river of grace and allow God to expand your vision and your imagination, you'll go places you just never dreamed you'd ever go. And that's exactly what happened to me.
Wow. Why don't you give us a few stories about what's in the book and how some of the suggestions you have might help us to process some of the difficulties or the losses that we experience?
Okay. I cover the deaths of my parents. I discuss in the first chapter about the financial difficulties, which I referred to. I also discuss about how after my mother died that I lost my singing voice because I developed acid reflux from all the stress. And then I talk about how I moved into a new area of my life by rediscovering an old interest in Louisa May Alcott, who's my favorite author, and how a study of her life and her and discovering, you know, what a depth of spirituality in her that really spoke to me, and how that led me through my grief process and led me to a new vocation as a writer. And then after that, even going further and realizing that creativity is something that we are all gifted with, whether we think so or not, even if we can't draw a straight line or, you know, sing a note in tune, that we all have the capacity to be creative because creativity covers so many more things. And the creative spirit, the Holy Spirit that created the earth is within all of us. So that we have, if we live with intention, we have that ability to create something for someone. And so that's one of the big things that I discovered after going through my season of loss, which I would say my season of loss lasted about maybe 7 years. And then after that is when I began to emerge and see this new life, this new creativity, this energy that God was providing me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular aspect about this book that you'd really like to share with our listenership in terms of how they can use a book like this in their own life?
Yes, I have provided something called Flow Lessons. Actually, my editor suggested the name for that, which I thought was perfect. And what they are exercises that use concrete images and common everyday experiences in order to imagine grace and to imagine, it's kind of the same way in which I took water and imagined it to be a metaphor for grace. These flow lessons act in a similar fashion. For example, there's a flow lesson I have about encountering resistance. One of the things that people who are grieving will go through may go through a period of resistance. You may decide that, no, this isn't really happening and I'm going to, you know, ignore it. Or you may push people away. Or, I mean, I particularly experienced a lot of resistance when I lost my singing voice. I have an exercise that will help illustrate what that resistance feels like. And it involves pushing heavy furniture. And if you know, what it's like to push it and what it's like to pull it and how that resistance feels, and then making that connection back to, okay, what resistance am I facing in my life? What am I pushing against? What am I pulling towards me? And seeing how God will lead you in terms of dealing with that resistance. So they're scattered throughout the chapters. There's 17 lessons in all, and they're actually all featured on my website at susanbailey.org so that you can actually experience these lessons. But they are scattered throughout the book to reinforce different points that I make from the stories that I share.
Mm. So, Susan, we're at that time of life in midlife where a lot of us deal with the loss of loved ones. What are some of the things that you might share with somebody who might be listening now, who might be in the throes of grief because of a recent loss, perhaps of a parent?
It's very hard to advise people because grief, I think, is a very individualized thing. I know that my own grief journey wasn't anything like I expected it to be. You know, when you read about it in books or see it on TV or a movie, you know, you see someone who's prostrate with grief, who's crying all the time or very depressed or not eating or so forth. And I mean, my grief wasn't like that at all. And I felt really quite odd about my grief for the longest time, and even after I wrote about it, I still didn't quite understand what had happened because I experienced a lot of peace, frankly, in my grief, which was funny. But I think what I would say to people is your grief is your particular signature to your individuality as a person. And you need to accept where you're at, which is hard. It's very hard. I'm not saying that is going to be easy to come to. I mean, even though my grief was not like a really hurtful grief, it still was hard to accept because it felt odd to me. But I think if you're willing to go along, if you see it as a journey, and you see it as a journey that will eventually emerge from the darkness into light, if you can see it that way, if you can try to see that light at the end of the tunnel and just cling to God for dear life, just cling to him, and you know, there'll be days when you won't feel that he's near at all. You may even lose your faith for a while. It may just seem, everything just may seem opaque and really bleak. But if you can just hang on to that intellectual knowledge of, I know God is there even though I don't feel him, and just hang on, eventually everything is going to come to light. You'll come to understand what's happening to you. And you will, there's a point where you might even rejoice in your loss. Not that you would want that person gone, you want them back, but God gives you a gift, many gifts actually, many blessings, when you are willing to go along on that tough journey, when you're willing to go over those rocks and those waterfalls and come crashing down and then just kind of like prostrate on the beach, so to speak, and just like, I can't do this anymore. And then God will just come to you in the sweetest and gentlest fashion and will enlighten you and just start parting those dark clouds, and you'll begin to see wonderful things. And I just know that the joy that I experienced joy in the middle of my grief because I was able to see what God was trying to teach me, and it was just glorious. It was really glorious. I would do anything to have my parents back. I think of them every day. I'm longing to tell them what has been going on, and I can't wait to get to heaven so that I can tell them. But at the same time, I'm so deeply grateful for all of the lessons that God has taught me through my grief.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm curious to know, as you're in the kayak now, a couple of years later, after you've come through some of these different things, where's the River of Grace bringing you now?
I'm not sure, to tell you the truth. I am working on a new project that is actually very, very different from what I did before, but in many respects, it's not. I'm doing a historical biography on one of the Alcott sisters, the one who died early, Elizabeth, Beth March and Little Women. And I'm exploring, I'm not only doing a historical biography, but I'm also exploring what she experienced spiritually through that. So it's actually kind of a similar theme to what I just explored in River of Grace. But at the same time, it's very, very different. And I frankly don't see, except for doing this project, I really don't see a clear path ahead. So I'm just kind of hanging on and just going, just reminding myself every day, keep going with it, keep going with it. When the old anxieties start to come back, as they do, then I just have to sit down and remind myself, okay, you know what to do with this. God gave you the tools to deal with these anxieties and just work through them. I find as you get older that you kind of worry about things more, and at least I do, and I'm actually finding myself becoming a lot like my mother in terms of different behaviors and just, you know, accepting it and going with God's flow of grace and just moving on ahead in trust, just trusting him. And along the way, each day, appreciating each moment, trying to see those opportunities in front of you with each individual that you meet, and just being kind and compassionate, praying for people. This is, I'm not trying to look in the long view. I'm just trying to stay within the moment in each day, which is a real challenge in this day and age, but that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that in terms of the kayaking experience. Just recently, my husband and I were kayaking out in Essex County, and it was very, you know, very beautiful, very lovely day. We were with a group of people, and my experience was, especially when you got to different bends, you know, you can't see around the bend. You just have to keep paddling and kind of just stay with the boat and approach what's on the other side of the bend with strength and reserve and with respect for the water and everything else, you know, because you can't always see around the bend.
That's right.
I really have a sense that this particular book would be very helpful for Catholics who are looking to tap into the graces of the sacraments and prayer as they are going through grief or as they are working out something that's problematic in their life.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to somebody who might not be that strong in their faith, or maybe they're coming back to the Catholic faith, or maybe they're not a Catholic, but they've heard about this book, and where would you say this book would help them start?
Well, I write a lot about what the Eucharist has meant to me, how I came to know the Eucharist as a child. I'm just old enough to have experienced the Latin Mass and felt at a young age very attracted to the Eucharist, and even through times in my faith when I strayed away from the church, I still always believed there was something about the Eucharist, even though I didn't understand precisely what that was. One of my flow lessons is about appreciating the Eucharist as food and thinking about how, as food, it courses through our body, it goes into our bloodstream, it becomes a part of us, and I mean, how intimate that really is. Mm-hmm. When you think about Jesus becoming food like that for us, which is such a prominent theme in the Gospels. Reconciliation, too. I mean, I'm very fortunate that we have a young priest at our parish who's just, that's his charism, is reconciliation. He's absolutely wonderful. And I find that I enjoy going to him for reconciliation. I think reconciliation is a very, very important sacrament that is not emphasized enough. I think it's really important to do that and then learn to let go of it afterwards, not dwell on any, you know, unnecessary guilt. But I think the sacraments were very important to me in terms of prayer. I mean, leaning on prayer partners, and because when you're going through the chaos of illness and taking care of someone you love and death, sometimes you can't pray for yourself. And that's the time to reach out to your prayer partners, to your friends, to your family, and say, can you please pray for me? And being buoyed up by that support is huge. I leaned a lot on St. Therese of Lisieux and a novena that I knew of her when my father was passing away, and also Our Lady Perpetual Help. And those things were so important, the whole just calling on the Holy Spirit. Going to Mass is like an anchor week to week to week. You know, you receive the Eucharist, you receive reconciliation for your sins, you're with the community. I mean, these things are so, so important. And then if you can take all of these beautiful sacramental things that we have in our rich church and bring them outside the building, you know, and start applying them to life and seeing where these sacraments apply in our daily lives, in the mundane daily things that we do. That's what I would tell somebody, that it's not just stuck in a church. It's something that you are supposed to take outside with you, carry with you, share with other people. Mm-hmm. There should be this joy in having these wonderful gifts that God has given to us. And, you know, to tell other people, like, this is something really cool that you might want to think about, you know, and that's what I'm hoping my book will do. A lot of non-Catholics have bought my book and read it and appreciated it, and I'm hoping that they are attracted, perhaps, by some of the things that I write about the sacraments and about our church.
Mm-hmm. In the course of your life, as you've experienced these different losses, and I know that you've talked about reinventing yourself or finding new paths on the way out of grief. Can you give us a particular, maybe, example of that? Is it that you are just finding new joy in old loves, or have there been new loves that the Lord has brought in terms of how you spend your time or the people in your life?
Both. I mean, certainly the writing was unexpected and new and not something that I had planned on. But another thing that happened is an appreciation of something old. As I mentioned before, I lost my singing voice for a time. I've been a professional singer for many years. I've recorded mm-hmm. several CDs. I concertized, et cetera, sang in church for years and years. And after my mother passed away, I noticed that my voice was very weak. It would fail in spectacular fashion in public when I would canter at Mass, which, you know, that's when you want that little trap door beneath your feet to open and you disappear. It was something. I had never, ever, ever been afraid to sing in public, and I became absolutely terrified of it. And I experienced a healing a couple of years later after being blessed on the Feast of St. Blaise. And the healing process has unfolded over time. The physical healing was fairly quick after that, but then there was the emotional healing, the psychological healing. The psychological healing is still going on because I still get up and sing, and I feel that fear coming up out of nowhere. I mean, I don't even feel afraid, but my stomach is like, okay. But mainly what it's done is I took my voice for granted. In fact, I just had a conversation with a lovely nun in the email this morning about that, because she mentioned the same thing. We took our voices for granted, and now that they've come back, and we didn't think our voices were going to come back, but now that they've come back, both of us expressed that incredible joy and gratitude every time we open our mouths to sing. Mm-hmm. It's just so new. I mean, it's not like, okay, I'm going to sing so I can sell a record or I can, you know, give a concert and blah, 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 blah. Now it's, I love opening my mouth to sing so that I can praise God for the fact that I can feel that beautiful, sensual feeling of singing and it coming out right, you know, and being able to bless others with that. And I know that I sing with much more passion and feeling now, because every time I open my mouth, I know, hey, this isn't permanent. It went away once and eventually it will go away again. So, you know, you appreciate it for every second that you have this precious, precious gift from God, and you give it as much as you can to others. And I think that's one of the bigger things that came out of all this.
I'm talking with Susan Bailey. The name of the book is River of Grace, Creative Passages Through Difficult Times. Susan, we've known each other for a while. This is a question I ask a lot of my guests. I think maybe we'll close with this. What excites you about being a Catholic?
What excites me about being a Catholic is that there are so many ways that you can explore your faith, express your faith. It's not just this little narrow path that you follow. It's this so much richness, the different saints. Oh my gosh, there's so many. I love the saints. I made up a bunch of little cards, like a deck of cards, and with pictures of my saints. I've like 20 saints that I daily will offer, ask for prayers, just gaze upon their image and say, and sing, pray for us. And I just love learning about them, about their lives, about how they love God and how they figured out how to do it and how they can show us. And I just have so many stories of how the saints have figured in my life and what they've done for me. St. Anthony was huge when my son was a baby and kept losing his special pacifier, which you couldn't find in the stores because it wasn't the one that was good for your teeth. St. Anthony came through time and time again. That's what kind of started the whole love affair with saints. But I love, and of course then the whole fact that we have a Western Roman Catholic Church and we have an Eastern Catholic Church, of which my husband is involved with. He's a Melkite and is a deacon in the Melkite Church, and mm-hmm. that's a whole different experience with the Byzantine Rite. And the fact that our church encompasses all these beautiful traditions, and we have so many different ways that we can pray and we can sing and we can worship God and we can be with each other, I just think that it's so wonderful being a Catholic.
All right. I think that's a great note to end on. Susan Bailey, thank you for being among women today. Thanks for the River of Grace. Of course, we'll be posting your website and your book in our show notes this day so that people can find you and find the book. I look forward to seeing you somewhere in Massachusetts sometime soon. God bless you.
Absolutely. Thank you, and God bless you.
Many thanks to Susan Bailey for being my guest. Be sure to check our show notes for this episode, episode 216, to find links to Susan Bailey's blog and website, and also her book, River of Grace. You can also find at her website her writing about Louisa May Alcott and the other writings that she's been involved in. All right? So do that. Be sure to do that. And if you ever want to write me a note, I always respond to email. You can find me at amongwomenpodcast@me.com. Well, our time has come to a close. Let's remember to pray for one another, shall we? And let's also remember she who is blessed among women, the patron of this podcast, Mary, Mother of God. Pray for us.
This has been a production of Behold Communications. Find us on the web at www.beholdcommunications.com.
Thank you.